This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come aboard.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Monday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good, and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters when we come to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans applies simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Our next guest is a highly touted NBA draft prospect. Coming up Thursday night is the NBA draft. And having just played one season at Mizzou, unfortunately, was cut very short because of a back injury. And so now our next guest is such an interesting question going into the NBA draft. He is Michael Porter Jr. of the Mizzou Tigers, and he's projected to go in the top 10, perhaps top 5 of the NBA draft. And he's here with a partnership with Auto Trader, the all-new Auto Trader, with more speed, shopping control, and trust. There's no reason to go anywhere else. The addition of Kelly Blue Book, price advisor to Auto Trader car listings, lets car buyers shop the widest variety of cars with the confidence to purchase with the most trusted pricing. Michael Porter Jr. Mike, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks so much for joining us. And this has got to be such a weird week for you because so many people are in love with your obvious talents and so many people are talking about your health and your back. Is it weird to hear so many people speculate about your health, both through the media and I'm guessing also publicly, either it's from fans or perhaps people that are in the NBA?
It's understandable. You know, I had a year in Missouri where I didn't get to, you know, display what I wanted to display. But, I'm feeling great. And I'm just excited for this week. And, you know, people can talk all they want and speculate. I'm just trying to stay focused and enjoy this week.
You came back at the end of the season, the SEC tournament, then the NCAA tournament. Do you regret it all, trying to come back after missing basically the entire year with a back injury?
I get asked that question a lot. And I wouldn't say I regret it just because, you know, it kind of showed that I wasn't really thinking about me. You know, I made that decision knowing I wasn't going to be the player I was going to be in a few months. I really just did it to try to not be selfish. So even though we lost those couple games, I still don't regret it. It was the right thing to do for my teammates, and I'm at peace with the situation.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly puts you in a tough spot because you wanted to compete and win games in March, and you didn't want to have to sit by and watch your team have to do it without you. At the same time, you know you weren't 100%, and so was it frustrating to have your college career end like that and know that the last visions of you from fans and media, we didn't get to see your best? Is that frustrating?
It's frustrating, but like I said, when I made a decision to play, I knew nobody was going to be seeing my best. I knew I was going to be putting on a show. I knew I was going to be the same Michael Porter Jr. they see in a couple months. So, it's all part of God's plan. It worked out exactly how I wanted it to, but, you know, I'm here now, and they still, you know, got me going pretty high in the draft, so I'm excited to see what team I get to go to and get back on the floor and show people what I'm about.
Is there a player in the NBA draft that you feel like you compare to? Because I've seen a lot of different comparisons, and so I always wonder, from the player themselves, is there one that you go, oh, yeah, you know what, I like that comparison to that guy?
Right now, I would say I'm a mix of Giannis and KD. You know, I like going to the hole a little more than KD does. I like bumping into people a little more physical than KD, but I also, you know, I like to shoot the ball more than Giannis. So that's what I like to compare myself to. And then also Tracy McGrady. I get compared to him a lot, and I like that one a lot, too. You know, those are three amazing players. So it's not, it doesn't feel bad to be in the same conversation as them.
Those are three pretty good players to be in a conversation with. And I also saw that you claimed Kevin Durant is the best player in the NBA right now, not LeBron. That created little waves here. What makes you think, or what? Why do you feel like KD's better than LeBron?
First of all, KD's my guy, so I had to back up my guy. And second of all, I always say LeBron is the best player in the NBA until he plays KD, and then I feel like KD, for the most part, gets the best of him. And that's just how I feel. I feel like KD scores on LeBron a little bit easier than LeBron scores on him. And KD's a little bit of a problem for LeBron. So that's why I say that. But, you know, they're both up there with the best players in the NBA, obviously.
But it also helps that KD has all that talent around him, right? I mean, that kind of has to help him make look a little better against LeBron.
Actually, if you when you're playing basketball, it's actually easier to look good when you're by far the best player on your team. I feel like that's when you can really just have all the confidence and really show out. So the fact that KD's doing this with all these other amazing players is something in itself.
That's interesting. Michael Porter Jr. joins us here on the show. So you would rather play with a lot of talent instead of shining with not a great team around you?
For sure. I think a lot of players, it's tough for them to play with great players, you know, because they're used to being with the ball in their hand all the time. But, like, for KD, it just shows a lot about how good of a player he is, being able to go to a championship-caliber team and fit right in and make the team even better.
I wonder, and I read a report that you were unable to get out of bed because of your back last week. Is that true? How bad has it been for you?
No, I don't know where that came from. I was walking around good. I don't know who said I couldn't get out of bed. But, it was just a little sore. You know, I went to my workout like I always do that day, and it was just feeling a little sore. So, you know, my agent is very cautious and just wanted to give me a couple days off, and that's all that was. I'm feeling great. It was nothing. It was nothing that serious.
You know, you played high school in Columbia, Missouri, and so being that your hometown, you know, playing in Columbia, there was different sized expectations and scrutiny on you than a normal kid that would come from New York City or Dallas or somewhere to play at Mizzou. Was that tough for you to know that pressure and expectations on you despite being injured?
For me, I've always tried to just take the pressure out of it and just keep playing the game that I love to play. You know, there was a lot of people with a lot of expectations, but I've never been one to shy away from expectations just because nobody has higher expectations for me than I do for myself. So that's how I kind of look at it. It was tough not being able to play, but like I said, it's all part of the plan for me. So
you think there's a lot of bad information out there about your back and your surgery?
There is. I think I understand why people are cautious, but I'm feeling great and I'm getting stronger and stronger. I'm feeling better and better. And, like, there's no risk of re-injury. There's no risk as much as people are making it seem. So, you know, I'm feeling good. And I think the teams understand that. The medical information is out there and it all looks good. So I'm feeling better and better.
Michael Porter Jr. working alongside Auto Trader. So how's this going? How's the relationship been?
It's been good. You know, especially for me being a rookie, my focus needs to be on the court. And the all-new Auto Trader has the largest variety of cars. So, you know, when I land in the city, it's going to be one of the first things I do is look at a car. So they're helping me out with that. And then they added the Kelley Blue Book Price Advisor. So, you know, you can be confident that you're getting the best prices. You're not getting ripped off. So they've been a great help for me.
Michael Porter Jr. working alongside the all-new Auto Trader. More speed, shopping control, and trust. There's no reason to go anywhere else. The addition of Kelley Blue Book Price Advisor to Auto Trader car listings lets buyers shop the widest variety of cars with the confidence to purchase with the most trusted pricing. Michael, man, good to catch up. Good luck coming up on Thursday. Can't wait to see where you land, and hopefully we can talk again down the line.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
You got it. Michael Porter Jr. joining us here on the show. Look, he's one of the most intriguing prospects in the draft because healthy, kid can ball. We saw that in high school. He's built the way that you want him to be built. He's got the skill set that will translate. But the back injury is terrifying. I mean, it really is. And maybe there is a lot of bad information out there. Maybe he's going to be fine because doctors have said that this actual surgery is not that big a deal, that it happens to a lot of people. You can recover 100% and that it just so happened that it happened to him in college, but it happens to a lot of people after erosion of your discs. And so the way that it went down was not that big a deal. But at the same time, you go, yeah, you also now got to play in the NBA at 19 years old, 20 years old, 21 years old, and hope that your back holds up after missing basically an entire college basketball season, your only year. So what do you do here? You've got almost no information on Michael Porter Jr. You saw him in high school. He was a beast. Gatorade Player of the Year. Then you saw him in college play for three games, two and a half, basically. And two of those were after the surgery where he clearly wasn't himself. So what do you do? Do you just go, we've got to bank on the potential here? We've got to bank on the talent potential? Or do you go, this scares me too much. I can't take that risk. Here's what's interesting. Because of the risk of the back, he's unlikely to go in the top three. He might also be outside of the top five. That could bring him to the Cavaliers number eight. And the Cavs would probably do that in a heartbeat because it gives them a top three talent at number eight. You know, if Michael Porter Jr. was healthy, he'd be a top three guy. But that back injury, I mean, you think about Greg Oden and the foot injuries, and Greg Oden's career never went anywhere because of that. And you'd hate to see that happen to a guy that you selected in the top five. I think the Cavaliers would jump, sign up for it right now if they got that type of talent at number eight. But will he last all the way there, or will there be a general manager that takes that risk earlier than that? 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. SB Nation did a nice write-up about the severity, the extent of this injury to his back. And the doctor that they spoke to said, our analogy we use is when you poke a hole in a jelly donut. When you squeeze, the jelly is going to come out. If you don't poke a hole, it's going to be contained. And that just made me feel real uncomfortable. I didn't want to think of squeezing the jelly out of your discs.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
It's been a hell of a show already. Hell of a show. Hey, coming up next, can we get the audio that we played on Friday of Scotty Farrell discussing why his wife is rooting for Uruguay? It's just one of my favorite pieces of audio ever. And we'll tie that into Leo Messi over the weekend gagging on another big moment. The greatest player ever misses a PK in the World Cup. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Make the right game plan for you. Farmers Insurance has practical insurance knowledge gained from more than 89 years of experience. Find an agent at farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum.
Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you for being part of our show. And we remind you that you can take us with you wherever you go. Simply download the CBS Sports app, the TuneIn app, radio.com app, or Apple Music, and it's all free on your phone live every single day. And our toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Michael tweets, I'm so glad I caught your podcast about the cornhole fight, and especially that Rockets fan starting stuff with a Warriors fan. Between that and listening to the softball incident, you just reminded me of those two videos again. Hashtag, oh my God, are you kidding me?
You get.
We've had three incredible incidents that we have documented here on the DA Show because we are kind of like the CBS News of fans who brawl.
Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me?
This is stupid!
Yes, there was a cornhole charity tournament that descended into a brawl. Get it.
Get!
There was a Warriors and Rockets fan that duked it out in Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals in Houston.
Are you kidding me?
You kidding me? And now there is a brawl in Kingsport, Tennessee, at a softball field of really cool guys. My God, that sounds like War of the Worlds. Was that an alien invasion with everybody getting zapped? Did everybody die in the melee? Everybody just from huge walking alien ships disintegrating people? Oh my God. Settle down, everybody. It's a bunch of fat guys at a softball game. Sorry, chubby. Sorry.
Itchy nipple chubra.
Are you kidding me?
Those are beer bellies. That's not pure fat. Let's calm down.
Gotcha. Those are kegerators.
No question.
Okay.
Fat.
Mm-hmm.
So many different emotions on so many different levels.
Fat.
Maybe my favorite clip of the World Cup comes to us courtesy of the Scott Farrell Show. Farrell on the bench, weeknights here on CBS Sports Radio, beginning at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 Pacific. When he had Roger Gonzalez, CBS Sports soccer insider, on the show, and asked what Uruguay's chances were.
So I wanted to tell you, you and I have talked several times about soccer, but I've never told you that last World Cup, 4 years ago, my wife, 34C, she indicated to Carver High and I that she wanted to sleep with the entire Uruguayan World Cup team.
That's an interesting take from her.
So I know she's a big fan of the squad. And my guess is she'll be rooting for them in this year's tournament. And she thinks all their players are hot. Do they have a shot based on her, you know, urges and everything?
Where do you go from there? What do you do as Roger Gonzalez, the CBS Sports Soccer Insider there?
You can't segue to pool play after that.
No, you cannot segue. Oh,
Uruguayan World Cup team.
So just based on her urges, what's the chances Uruguay does this?
Do they have a shot based on her, you know, urges and everything?
Based on her urges. Well, before her urges, not a great shot. After the urges, they're one of the favorites.
He's gone!
So, we had Argentina and Iceland over the weekend, and Iceland's one of these tremendous stories, Cinderella stories, a population, a country of just 330,000 people making the World Cup. That's the size of Peoria, Illinois, and they made the World Cup. And they've got a very good team. They're a top 25 team in the world. And they took on Argentina. And some people thought, well, this is Iceland going to crash back down to earth. Argentina has arguably the best player of all time with Lionel Messi. And what ends up happening is Iceland doesn't play a particularly pretty style of soccer. And they, quote unquote, park the bus. They play defense. And Argentina, with all of its talent, all of its offense, and all of its Leo Messiness, can't break the code. And Iceland and Argentina finish with a 1-1 draw, which is an enormous result for Iceland. What ends up happening is in the World Cup, each team plays multiple matches in the first round, three matches in the first round, and then the top two in each group move on to elimination. So this is not elimination just yet. This is just the first match. But this is a huge result for Iceland to be able to tie Argentina. When we were talking and previewing the World Cup on Friday, I had my man J.J. Devaney join us, and J.J. compared Iceland. We were kind of going back and forth. What is Iceland? He said it was Loyola of Chicago. A Cinderella out of nowhere on this incredible story. Small school, shouldn't be doing what they're doing on the big stage. I kind of compared to the Green Bay Packers, not because they've had a ton of success like the Packers have, but because it's such a small community, it's kind of insane to think that that type of success, like an NFL team, could come out of Green Bay, Wisconsin. Either way, the story just continues to get great because, kind of like Sister Jean, their coach, Iceland's coach, is a dentist. No, seriously. He's a dentist. And Iceland is so small, they invite the fans into a big banquet hall, and the coach gives the fans and the media that's covering this all types of inside dirt on the team, tactics and who's going to start and all of this. And they just are on a trust contract. It's the circle of trust. Hey, we'll tell you everything you want to know, but you can't tweet this out. You can't put this on social media. Media, you can't report this. And peeps, you can't tell anybody. And this works, which is kind of like a Packer stockholder meeting. We'll give you the juice, but you got to keep it in-house, okay? Circle of trust here, Fokker. Circle of trust. That's what Iceland does with its fans. It's amazing. So they get this 1-1 draw over Argentina or with Argentina. And this is enormous, absolutely enormous. And what ends up happening is, as JJ and I were discussing, Argentina and Leo Messi, combination of Dan Marino's Dolphins and the Buffalo Bills, unable to win the big one, even though they've got an all-time great. And because Leo Messi has not won a World Cup, he'll never be, even in his own country, the most beloved. Think about it, of Steve Young versus Joe Montana. Steve Young was great, but he was never going to be Joe Montana. At least not until he won a Super Bowl. And really, he could never get to Joe Montana because he was never going to win four. Same thing with Messi and Diego Maradona. And Maradona won a World Cup. So here's Messi on the stage against little Sister Jean and Loyola Chicago as a penalty kick late in the second half, which could have put Argentina on top and win this game. Get stoned. Save. And Messi can't believe it. And so now another moment on the biggest stage of arguably the greatest soccer player of all time, penalty kick against the Loyola of Chicago of this tournament, gets stoned. Oh! The heartache! The pain! For Argentina and Leo Messi. Two matches to redeem himself. But boy, that is a bad way to start. It might not have been Scott Norwood missing the field goal, but it's Thurman Thomas forgetting his helmet. It's a gag. It was, no doubt, and I love Messi, but that was a gaggy, gaggerson, gagtastic gag. Can he redeem himself? Meantime, Ronaldo had a hat trick with a ridiculous curling kick in the 88th minute to get that draw against Spain, which is just stupid. That's the highlight of the tournament so far. When we come back here on the show, a little cut line, the stories that did not make the cut, plus your epic fail. Andrew Bogus, have we figured out how Jacksonville got its name?
No, I've been searching, and I have not found an answer yet that seems to make any sense.
Mraz earlier in the show had a eureka moment because we did the story about Michael Jackson's elephant from the Neverland Ranch now being in the Jacksonville Zoo and getting free for a time being, but then getting led back into his pen. Mraz at the eureka moment said, oh, so that's why they've named it Jacksonville, because of Michael Jackson.
Yeah, and I saw it happen, DA. I saw the light go on. I saw the eyes bug out of his head. I saw that thought.
It was Thomas Edison inventing electricity.
I saw the synapses connect in his brain, Jacksonville to Jackson with a little elephant in between. I saw it go off. I didn't know what we were going to get afterwards. And once again, we got something that defies explanation from that gentleman to my right.
It's all glory. It's all glory. Mraz also then went to Wikipedia and found out that Jacksonville was created in 1968.
From nothing.
Which was basically the exact time that the Jackson 5 burst into the scene with I Want You Back and ABC. So this was the natural tie. The Jackson 5 moved to Jacksonville, and they The city is so excited to have the family there, renames it from First Coast City to Jacksonville.
Hardy har har, and I get it, I was wrong again, and this isn't the first or last time I was going to be wrong, but again, it's Jacksonville, mm-hmm. and somehow Michael Jackson's elephant ends up, of all the zoos in America, at the Jacksonville Zoo. Excuse me for not thinking and feeling like I came up with something. I was wrong, okay? I was wrong, and
who
I admit
says
I was
wrong.
Apparently, I've done more research, and I could tell you that I'm wrong. I was not right.
What'd you find out?
Well, it wasn't created in 1968. They just had a moment there that I thought was created. It was created in like the 1800s.
A moment there. What was the what was Jacksonville's moment?
I'd have to go back.
Did they get the Jaguars in 68?
No.
Wow.
They got them in 93. They were awarded them. Okay. But I was wrong. I misread. But again, the irony that it's Jacksonville and a man with the last name of Jackson's elephant ended up at their zoo would tell me that there's some kind of tie between the Jacksons and Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Again, it's
and
not,
there may be.
It's not Miami where you'd be like, oh, that's interesting. Like right. Jacksonville. It's a ville, which is short for village, named after Jackson, somebody named Jackson, mm-hmm. Michael Jackson's elephant there. 2 + 2 usually equals 4. In this
usually.
Case, does not. Get a load of this!
Can you think of another Jackson that might be in American history?
Andrew was a president.
Okay, very good. I thought you were going to go Bo there.
Bo would be a baseball and football player.
Uh-huh.
Reggie, maybe.
Reggie, right?
Don't think he was named after Jacksonville.
So when you have these eureka moments, do you feel like, oh my God, I'm really smart? Or do you just...
In the moment, and then quickly I'm gashed when I look around and I realize I'm becoming a mockery. But in the moment, I'm like, maybe these guys didn't think of this, and that's why the elephant was at that zoo, because Jacksonville has something to do with the Jackson 5.
And you think that a city could be, in the U.S., is new enough to be named after the Jacksons?
I mean...
Like the Jackson 5?
15 years ago, those parts of Florida didn't even have fencing yet. Yeah, Florida is so new.
Oh, my God.
If anywhere, it's going to be Florida. There were still bobcats roaming backyards in the 90s.
Oh, you know, God. Like, I could even see you going, like, maybe they gave the elephant to Jacksonville. Because they go, oh, Jacksonville. But you went, like, back into history
yeah.
and thought the coincidence was that they created the town in the likeness of the Jackson
and
family.
Thus had to
and
give
thus had to logically take the elephant now that it was orphaned.
Well, you never know. There could have been other memorabilia that's not escaping its cage, you know?
Like this is the Michael Jackson Zoo.
Right, like a Michael Jackson glove could be something, you know, at a historical site in Jacksonville. They just got everything Michael Jackson sprinkled throughout the town. All over that St. John River.
So it's like... Okay, so it's like Graceland, like...
Right! It's a Dolly Parton world. You know, everybody's got these areas, like, and maybe Michael Jackson's is Jacksonville.
But weren't you in Jacksonville?
No, I've been to all the other parts of Florida.
Oh, okay.
I've never been.
The settled places.
No, the ones that have had fencing.
Exactly.
Since the 90s.
It's too rural in Jacksonville for him.
You guys can't take my creative mind.
Is my that bad. What it is?
My bad. When we come back, your cut line and your epic failing.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Little wet, little drippy, 24/7.
He was trying to get the work. He was trying to get the business. And there's nothing wrong with that. Hey, you know what the Chiefs mean. You know what the Chiefs mean, baby.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
You know what them cheeks mean. Get them cheeks, as Brandon Jacobs once taught us. Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. And you can always watch the show at watchda.com. I highly encourage you to do so, especially from your phone, because it's mobile-friendly. That's watchda.com. It's time for your Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Dan tweets, DA, should the Spurs wait until the trade deadline to make a potential deal for Kawhi? Not if you can get a good deal now. Look, this is the way that it's got to go. The Spurs have to do everything in their power to try to get Kawhi to buy back in. And maybe that's just, Kawhi, do you really want to leave $219 million on the table? Because nobody else can give you that. Are you sure you want to do that? And you try to win him back. Look, I think that Kawhi went AWOL on his guys. It was unacceptable. I didn't like seeing him miss the playoffs, not be around. I crushed him regularly for that. To me, it was a selfish move to not even be around, because I get it. You're upset with organizational stuff, medical team, Pop, what have you. Fine. But your guys are going to battle against Golden State in the playoffs. You should be on that bench with the team. It feels like it's broken for good. It seems like it's irreparable, but the Spurs have got to try everything they can to get him back, because they're just not going to get an even deal. We don't see even deals go down this way when you've got to trade an unhappy star. Number two, if you cannot get him back, then you look at trading him right now so that you get a draft pick this year. And I think the first team that you look at is the Boston Celtics, because they've got young talent, controllable assets, cheap talent, and draft picks. If you're the Spurs, you could do worse than figuring out a deal with the Celtics. Here's the problem, though. Danny Ainge has always had an issue with having to be the smartest guy in a deal. He needs to crush people in deals. He doesn't want even deals. He wants to humiliate you deals. And the Spurs don't do that. They don't get humiliated. And so the Celtics might be too adamant on having to win the deal, obviously, with Kawhi, that they're not willing to give up a significant number of assets. But that's the first place you start shopping. And you don't want to send it to L.A. if you don't have to, because if you do, you keep him in the West and he keeps coming back to beat you in the playoffs with a really good team if LeBron and Paul George end up going there. Travis is next up in Virginia listening to CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Trav?
Hey, man. I heard you guys speaking about Michael Jackson. Whoever that, the city of Jacksonville was named after him. That was hilarious, because we knew that was impossible. Jacksonville was way before the Jacksons came around. Everybody knows that, I thought. And then let me go ahead and get you my point.
So did I.
I think that Jacksonville was named after the general of the Confederate War, Stonewall Jackson.
Actually, we have the information right here. Alvin tweets, DA, it first appears in a petition sent June the 15th, 1822, to U.S. Secretary of State John Quincy Adams, asking that Jacksonville be named a port of entry, the city named for Andrew Jackson, military governor of the Florida Territory and eventual president of the U.S. So Jacksonville named after Andrew Jackson, shockingly not Michael.
How about that?
Who knew? Courtney, the First Lady of Trash Tuesday, tweets in, DA, Telmarezville is not short for village. It's a cognate for ville, as in French, which stands for city.
Oh, okay.
Chino Palooza tweets, Mraz, they're messing with you. They named Jackson, Mississippi after Michael.
There's no way that's true.
Hank tweets in, DA, just Mraz, please say it ain't so. Oh, it be so. Gary tweets, listening to Mraz every day makes me feel better about my own family. See, that's the civic duty Mraz is delivering you. You might worry about, like, whoa, my kids are stupid. Or, wow, my cousins are dumb. Or, man, my sister is really dumb, or something like that. But then you hear Mraz think that Jacksonville, Florida, now I'm getting dumber by osmosis, Jacksonville, Florida may have been renamed Jacksonville for Michael and the Jackson 5 in the late 60s, and you realize, man, all this time I felt stupid in front of people. Like, so-and-so is really smart, or so-and-so's boyfriend's really smart, or so-and-so's wife is really smart. And then you realize, oh, wait, there's somebody on the radio that holds not one but two full-time positions here at the company and thinks that Jacksonville was named after Michael, Tito, and LaToya. Gary tweets, I simply can't believe what I was listening to. John tweets, Jacksonville. Can anybody be that stupid? Mikey tweets, my God, DA, we need to get Mraz to voice over the Waze app. Yes. You're now entering Jacksonville, named in 1968 for the Jackson 5. You need to eat like this.
As a pop culture phenomenon like myself.
The elephant was still there, all right?
My God.
Oh. Dixie Landan tweets, I was drinking at golf tournaments, or drinking at golf tournaments started with my favorite golfer ever and my role model on the course, Long John Daly. Yeah, we were discussing how this has started, that the U.S. Open became a bro fest over the weekend with people just getting hammered. When did golf outings and tournaments outside of the Masters become that? This is a real Happy Gilmore type of generation, just going out, spending hundreds of dollars on these tickets, and then just hanging out in the golf in the beer tent all night long, or all day long, rather. It's time to get your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls, and what else could it be? That time that Mraz thought Jacksonville was named after the Jackson 5?
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
It just dawned on me. Jacksonville. Was that named after Michael Jackson?
Yes.
Is that how the elephant got there?
Yeah, they named Jacksonville after Michael Jackson.
I never freaking knew that.
How can you not know that?
That's awesome.
You got it, honey. You did it. The case cracker.
Jacksonville. Yes, that's the Jaguars went there primarily because the King of Pop was such a huge influence on that city.
What was it called before Jacksonville?
I think it was Seaside Proper or something like that.
I love this. That's it.
Got to look it up. Seaside.
No, don't look it up. Just trust us.
And, I mean, Mraz, thinking about how famous and successful Michael Jackson was, don't you think it's proper that Jacksonville would rename its city after Michael Jackson?
Are they from there? I don't know the backstory.
Why That's what they... I'm trying to figure out right now.
I think, Mraz, isn't the Jackson 5 from Jacksonville?
Don't! Well,
no, I didn't think they were, but there has to be some kind of tie.
Yeah, the
elephant.
Obviously, when he left the Jackson 5, he had originally performed in Jacksonville for the first time, and that's kind of where he started his solo career.
Well, the time in Korea, it's 1968 was when Jacksonville was founded, so it wasn't even named anything before that. But the Jackson 5 was early 60s, right?
No, right around that time, yeah, 68.
That makes sense.
Right around that time.
That's cool, though, to get the elephant all the way from Minnesota to Jacksonville.
That's... Minnesota.
The Neverland.
Prince. Yeah, he's not Prince.
Oh, that's right. Prince.
Prince is Minnesota.
California, I assume.
Yeah, okay. California. Yeah. So we've...
Oh, okay.
Hit a lot of...
I blame you again, DA. This is your fault.
We want refunds.
He's asking me questions in my ear now. Is he not from Jacksonville?
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
There's so much there. It's incredible. I mean, put it on the board. Yes, for the 12 DAs. You got to put it on the board. Mraz not only thought that Jacksonville was named after the Jackson 5 and Michael Jackson, which is also why they put Michael Jackson's elephant in the Jacksonville Zoo. But also that the Neverland Ranch was Prince. That Michael Jackson's ranch was in Minnesota. Oh, man. And again, I just want to stress this. Mraz has a high school diploma. Mraz was once in honors classes.
Yeah, show me the Michael Jackson 101 class I took to get that degree.
I'm just saying, your brain, look, there's just two issues here that are just so obvious that we have to always underscore. Number one, you wonder why. You need more examples of how the American educational system is broken. Mraz not only has a high school diploma, but has a college degree. He has a college degree. And I just bring up, you were in honors classes because at one point in time, You clearly had some type of logic making in your brain. And now
I got the yips.
And now the logic has just been gummed up by so much buffalo chicken sauce that it just, everything is so warped in there. Like you actually thought logically, well, yeah, I mean, there's an elephant. It used to be Michael Jackson's. This is the Jacksonville Zoo. Clearly, it must be named after the Jacksons.
Well, people take turns. Lenny Dykstra is a great baseball player. Now he's fighting Uber drivers. I mean, things happen.
It's just extraordinary. And, you know, you worry about how we push kids through the educational system, especially public schools. Look, teachers can't afford to have morass on their hands for a couple of years. So we just got shoved along. Yeah, okay, you're just going to basically, we got to get you out of here. Get him out.
Get him out.
That will do it for us this morning here on the DA Show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer and historian extraordinaire. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti and the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan back in the simulcast of Watch DA. And also thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. I'm DA and the Mothership Disconnects.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.